Toad of Toad Hall. Early one summer's morning, as Rat and his friend Mole were finishing their breakfast, there was a loud knock on the door of Rat's riverside home. "See who it is, will you, Mole, while I finish my boiled egg?" In a few moments, a very excited Mole returned with Badger. Rat looked worried, because he knew that Badger never visited anyone unless it was very serious.
"Sorry to barge in like this, Ratty, but really something must be done."
"Done?" asked Rat. "Done about what?"
"Why, that silly-ass Toad, of course. At this very moment, yet another expensive motor car is being delivered to Toad Hall. He's a public menace, roaring round the countryside, terrorizing the neighborhood. He's already spent 6 weeks in hospital, you know, having smashed up several cars. We must do something, or he'll be in serious trouble with the police. Unless he kills himself first, of course."
"But what can we do?" asked Rat. "You know what he's like. Once he's got a craze, he just won't listen to reason."
"Well, I suggest we take him in hand. I've decided we must do something today."
"Hooray!" shouted Mole. "We'll teach him a lesson he'll never forget."
"Well said, Mole. We'll rescue the poor animal from his own stupidity. He'll be the best behaved toad there ever was."
So Badger, Mole and Rat set off for Toad Hall. When they got there, they saw a brand new shiny motor car parked outside the front door. It looked very powerful, very expensive, and was painted bright red, Toad's favourite colour. Then they saw Toad swaggering down the steps. He was dressed in an enormous overcoat, a pair of goggles, a large check cap, and a huge pair of leather gloves.
"Hello!" shouted Toad cheerfully. "You're just in time to come for a spin in my new motor. Hop in!"
Without a word, Badger strode up the steps and beckoned to the others.
"Take him inside," he said sternly.
Then turning to Toad, he said,
"Your driving days are over, Toad."
And before the astonished Toad could say anything, Mole and Rat grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and bundled him, shouting and screaming, into the house.
"Now then," said Badger to Toad, "you can take off those ridiculous clothes."
"Shot! How dare you speak to me like this? What's the meaning of it? I demand an explanation."
"Right then," said Badger. "Take them off him, you two."
Mole and Rat forced a wriggling, struggling Toad to the floor. Rat sat on him while Mole took off his motoring clothes piece by piece and then stood him on his legs again.
"You knew we'd come to this sooner or later, Toad,"
said Badger, pushing Toad into the study.
"I'm going to give you a good talking to."
And with that, he disappeared with Toad into the study.
"What's the use of talking to Toad?" asked Rat. "He'll say anything, and as soon as we've gone, go back to his old ways. What he needs is a good thrashing."
An hour later, a very dejected and sorrowful Toad was brought in by Badger.
"Now then, Toad, I want you to promise to Mole and Rat that you will never drive a car again."
"I won't promise. I won't," screamed Toad. "It's all very well saying to you I won't drive again, but I didn't really mean it. You just made me say it. I won't promise. I won't. I love driving. There's nothing like it in all the world."
"Very well," said Badger. "I feared it would come to this. Take him upstairs, you two, and lock him up in his bedroom. He's to stay there until he said he's sorry for what he's done and promises never to drive again."
"Then you'll have to keep me there forever,"
screamed Toad, hitting out at Rat and Mole.
"I'll never promise. Never!"
Kicking and shouting abuse, Toad was bundled into his bedroom by Rat and Mole.
and he continued to shout abuse through the keyhole for a very long time. Then finally, all was quiet.
"We shall have to take turns to guard him," said Badger. "He's obviously mad and can't be trusted for a moment."
So each animal took it in turns to guard Toad's room day and night. At first, Toad was very difficult. But gradually he quietened down and amused himself by setting up four chairs in his room to resemble a motor car. Sitting in a front seat, and with a fixed look in his eyes, he would utter strange noises, resembling those of a car. Then, growing more and more excited, and making louder and louder sounds, he would turn a complete somersault and lie on the floor on top of the upturned chairs with a deep look of satisfaction on his face. But as time passed, Toad lost interest even in this and grew restless and bored. Then one morning, when Mole and Badger were out walking, he called out to Ratty in a feeble voice,
"Run down to the village, will you, Ratty, and fetch the doctor? I really do not think there's much a doctor can do, but one can only hope."
Alarmed by Toad's condition, Rat hurried out of the room, and locking the bedroom door behind him, ran down the drive to the doctor's. In a flash, Toad dressed, stuffed banknotes into his waistcoat pocket, tied the sheets of his bed into a crude rope, climbed out of the window, and slid lightly to the ground. Striding along the road in the opposite direction to that taken by Rat, Toad came to a little town. And feeling very hungry after his walk, he marched into an inn, ordered a large lunch, and sat down to eat. Halfway through his meal, Toad suddenly stopped. In the distance, he could hear a familiar and friendly sound. The sound grew louder and louder until, with a loud poop, poop, a splendid car swept into the inn yard. Poor Toad was so overcome with emotion, he had to grab the leg of the dining room table to steady his nerves. He watched with wild excitement as the driver and passengers got out and entered the inn. Quickly and quietly, Toad got up from the table, paid his bill, and sauntered down to the inn yard.
"Well, there can't be any harm," he said to himself, "in my just looking at it."
The car stood in the middle of the inn yard, gleaming in the sunlight. Toad walked boldly up to it and examined it very closely.
I wonder, he said to himself, "I wonder if this sort of car starts easily."
The next moment, hardly knowing what he was doing, Toad got hold of the starting handle, gave it a brisk turn, then, as if in a dream, found himself in the driver's seat. With a great roar, he swung the car out through the yard and sped off down the high street in a cloud of dust. He was last seen hurtling into the countryside, singing at the top of his voice. But Toad's joy was short-lived. His next appearance was in a courtroom, charged with stealing a car, reckless driving, and being very rude to a fat, rosy-cheeked policeman.
"Prisoner," said the judge sternly, "pull yourself together and try to stand up straight. You are a hardened ruffian and rogue. The only difficulty I see in an otherwise clear case is what punishment to give you. Taking into account the gravity of your crimes and your insolent, arrogant manner, 20 years imprisonment is, to my mind, lenient."
Toad fell to his knees, whimpering and begging for mercy. Then he was dragged out of the court, handcuffed, bound in chains, and marched through the city streets where jeering crowds pelted him with carrots. Shrieking, praying and protesting, he was led into a huge fortified castle and thrown into the deepest and darkest dungeon of all.
"Keep a sharp eye on this one," said the police sergeant to the jailer. "He's a vile criminal of the deepest guilt. Watch him with your life."
Flinging himself to the floor, Toad shed bitter tears.
"Oh, miserable animal," he sobbed. "This is the end of everything. The end of the popular, the rich and handsome Toad. What is to become of me?"